Okay, so we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 through 15. So God's grace, God's unmerited favor, was given to each of us individually in different ways in proportion to the measure of Christ's rich and bounteous gift. Therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he bestowed gifts on men. Now what can this, he ascended, mean but he had previously descended from the heights of heaven into the depths and the lower parts of the earth? And so this is just setting the stage here. And go to verse 11. And his gifts were varied. He gave us gifts. He himself appointed and gave men to us, some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some traveling missionaries, pastors, teachers, shepherds of the flock. His intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, his consecrated people, that they should do the work of ministering toward building up Christ's body, the church, that it might develop until we all attain oneness in the faith and in the comprehension of the full, accurate knowledge of the Son of God, so that we might arrive at really mature manhood, the completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection, the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ, and the completeness found in him. So then we may no longer be children, tossed like ships to and fro, between chance gusts of teaching and wavering with every changing wind of doctrine, the prey of the cunning and the cleverness of unscrupulous men, gamblers engaged in every shifting form of trickery in inventing errors to mislead. Rather, let us our lives lovingly express truth in all things, speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly. Enfolded in love, let us grow up in every way and in all things into him who is the head, even Christ the Messiah, the Anointed One. So in the Message Bible, verse 15 says, but speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. You have to see the need to grow up before you start thinking that way. There are churches full of people that they may have made a decision at one point 20 years ago, but what they're getting in the pulpit is an excerpt from the Reader's Digest, a poem. You can't grow on that. You can't grow on that. This is what helps us to grow. What would happen if you didn't see the need or the mandate from God to grow? What happens is your spirit man that lives in here, he is not going to dominate your soul and body. And you would live only based on what you see with these natural eyes, and you'll fall for every strange new idea that sounds godly because you don't know any better. It sounds godly. It uses the word God and Jesus, and so it must be okay because you can't bounce it off of this because you don't know this. And so we're to grow up so that we don't fall for the things like babies do. This scripture talks of walking with God, seeking his face, knowing him for yourself. In other words, a relationship. When we grow up with our natural parents, there's a bond. When we start out, we're a baby. They have to change our pants. They have to feed us. They have to do everything for us. Pick us up, carry us to a crib, carry us to the car. We can't do it. When a baby is born in church, they're fresh. They don't know. I mean, even if they've been raised in a Christian home and then they finally make the decision, it's like everything is fresh again, and they finally, that revelation starts hitting when they start hearing the words of God and they understand what they've been hearing all this time. So at first you're a very demanding baby and you can't do for yourself. Then you grow some and you start feeding yourself and then you become independent. I don't know if you've ever seen a baby go, I do. Because they think they're big then. They want to do it themselves. And then they go to the bathroom themselves and they learn more things and they become more independent. So remember when you left elementary school and you were in sixth grade and then you were the top dog and then you went to, we had a junior high school, not a middle school. So you went to the junior high school, And all of a sudden, you're the low man on the totem pole again. You are looked at like dirt, and you are not top dog anymore. Did you grow any less? No, but because you were more grown in elementary school than the first graders in the kindergarten, and you knew your way around, and you knew everything they were teaching there, you had gotten to the point, you had mastered that, then all of a sudden, you go to high school, and you're down here. And so, teenagers like to think, and I did it myself, like to think that they're older than they are. They like to think they know so much more than the parents. And as they mature, they usually come back to the parents and say, "Boy, was I stupid. I need your wisdom." You know, because they realize that the parents do have wisdom, but they're trying to be independent, they're growing, they're trying to do things on their own. I remember my sister, my older sister, fighting with my mother at the kitchen sink because she wanted to wash dishes her way and Mom wanted her to wash dishes the way she told her to, because she wanted her to do the pots last. And my sister was like, "What difference does it make?" You know, when you're 16, 17, you're like, "What difference does it make as long as the dishes get washed?" Well, that was a no-no. You don't fight with your mother. But anyway, teenagers know. So we're kind of like that when we start growing, and we kind of look at ourselves like we see some growth, but I advise you to not think so highly of yourself, because I think the more you mature, the more you see how much you absolutely don't know. It's good to grow, but then you see, oh my gosh, I thought I was so grown 2 years ago, and look how much God has brought me through to this point, and I know there's more to come. So we grow the outward man physically, intellectually. We can exercise. To grow physically, basically, you just have to have food and you will grow. I mean, God made the body really neat, that if you've got the nutrients, your body's going to grow anyway. It's just going to be stunted if you don't have the right nutrients. But as a spiritual man, the inward man, they have to develop and mature. And you can stay a baby in 20 years. You can still stay. You don't automatically grow. You can be born again, but then your spirit's in there trying to talk to you. And because you don't recognize it, and because you haven't put word of God in there to grow, you're listening to your whole flesh and whatever he tells you to do. So we want to be growing our inward man. When I was a teenager, and even in my early 20s, I grew up in a Christian home, and I loved God, but I hadn't really grown a whole lot. And I was very insecure and very fearful. Now, like I said, I know more and I've grown more and I can do more and not be afraid. But there's also so much more that I see I still need to grow in. I thought I was a child, and now I'm wondering if I'm still not, you know, four, you know, instead of nine. So our example is Jesus. And go to Luke chapter 1. Ephesians 4 is going to be our go-to chapter, the basis for this. But in Luke chapter 1, even Jesus, and he was our example. He came to be our example so that we would know how to be. And so he's talking about Jesus here. And he says, "And the little boy grew and became strong in spirit." Doesn't say he grew and became strong in body. It says he grew and became strong in spirit. And that's where we want to be. We want Jesus as our example. And so when we grow up as Christians, who should we look like? Jesus. We should look like Jesus. So we're not calling ourselves gods, although he gave us authority, he gave us power. He is the God. But as we grow and as we become more like him, people should see Jesus in us. They should see him. If we fall short and we throw a tantrum like a baby and like a child, you may have a spurt where you're, you know, just, you have a bad day and you just kind of fall off the wagon, so to speak. So what do? You wallow in it in the dirt? Or do you get back up and say, I purpose in my heart, God wants me to grow. I'm going to grow. Thank you, Jesus, that you, I put this under the blood, I repent, and you take me onward, and I'm going to grow because I want to please you. Verses 13 and 14 back over in Ephesians 4. We're just going to have to mark that one. verses 13 and 14, you know, it's talking about no longer like children, tossed like ships, to and fro, between chance gusts of teaching and wavering with every changing wind. Fully grown person is not easily deceived. Someone may come in with this new doctrine, or someone may come in and say, oh, it's okay. Pat tells a story of, we did Bible study training, like cell group training in our other church. And so we would have a different problem every week. We would pretend, play act out, that because it was training for leaders of cell groups, not for people coming. And so one person would lead, and then they wouldn't know the problem that we had thrown at them in the middle of this until they were teaching the Bible study, and then the other leaders were in on it. Well, not all of them, some of them. So we got to this one night, and Pat said, okay, there's going to be someone that brings up a totally wacko doctrine in the middle of this and treats it as something godly, spiritual. So he told John, our right-hand man, to go in. And when Larry, it was actually Larry teaching that night, and when Larry was teaching, to get up and go to the bathroom and just stir up some seed in there. And John, if you knew John, he is perfectly, he's docile. He does whatever you want him to do. He does not stir up anything. He's not a fighter. But because he gave it, he's like praying about it. He's like, I don't know how to do this and have respect and honor and all that. But it was a teaching tool, okay? So he goes to the bathroom to pray, and he comes out. It was perfect. He comes out and he goes, God just gave me a revelation, a moving experience in there. And he said, I think that we're all supposed to get down on our knees and pray right now. Now, Larry's leading a Bible study. Larry's trying to teach the Word of God, and somebody comes in and says, no, I think we should do this, you know. So the idea is to get the leaders to know how to respond to any situation. So I jumped on the bandwagon, and I go, I just heard from God, and I think we're supposed to bark like dogs, and God is going to answer us. Well, about this time, Larry has lost it. I mean, he has no hopes of trying to get everybody back in, because I'm on the floor barking and John's over there praying. And so we look at that one and we're like, that is like the shining star moment there. But of course, Larry handled it, and it threw him back because he didn't expect it to come from either one of us. And but the point is, if you're fully mature, you would know barking was not of God, you know. And to his credit, he took it like, you know, he took the humor thing. And the next Sunday, when I was up leading worship, I have a little baggie of doggy treats up there for me. So he was letting me know that, you know, it was okay with us. So, but we need to understand that there are people with evil agendas in church. There are. They have their own agenda, and so we need to have discernment. And that's part of growing up. The more that you let the Holy Spirit lead you, and the more you grow and you know what this word says, and you allow him access to your life and let him help you to grow, then you'll get that discernment that comes with maturity. And so you won't be as easily. You hear of all these people that, I mean, I forget the name of the group, the cult group that they all killed each, what was it? Something Town. Yeah. Yeah, years ago. How does that happen? Because people don't know. They just don't know. And they're following blindly this leader, and they just don't know what the Word of God says. So we want to be spiritually savvy, grow up. We all need to grow, and not be a middle-aged body with a baby inside. So we have been made in the image and likeness of God, John chapter 4. And the whole reason is God wants to see us not get taken out early, and not get sidelined, but to go on and have the life that he has prepared for us that is going to affect those around us in a good way. John chapter 4, verse 24. It says, God is a spirit, a spiritual being, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We see here God is a spirit. We've been made in his image. We've been made in his likeness. Obviously, we all look different on the outside. We are spirits as he is a spirit. And a spirit is something that's not seen with the natural eye. Unfortunately, the world interprets that if you can't see something with your natural eye, it doesn't exist. I mean, I don't know if you ever saw that show Bones. She only believes in something that science proves to her. She's a some kind of a scientist. But anyway, they use her in crime and stuff. Anyway, if you can't see it with the natural eye, it doesn't exist. Well, air, this air, we cannot see, but it exists. We know it exists. It gives us the air to breathe. It's real. It's not nothing. Well, we can't see our spirit that lives inside of our body. But it's real, and it's as real as this flesh, this body that I live in. A man or a woman is a spirit, and we need to grow that spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 16. There's references in the Word of God talking about the outer man, the inner man. So there's, you know, you are a spirit, you live in a body, and you have a soul. In verse 16, it says, therefore, we do not become discouraged and spiritless, exhausted, wearied out through fear, though our outer man is progressively decaying and wasting away, yet our inner self is being progressively renewed day after day. You can mature and grow the inward man, but unlike the outward man, it doesn't age. In other words, you're going to grow from a baby in there, but your inner man will never die. It's never going to decompose. You can be out of the body and still exist. However, the body can't exist without your spirit. It's not the other way around. So we are a spirit, and almost without trying, like I said before, you can develop on the outside, but not spiritually. So we're supposed to start growing the inward man renewed day by day. There should be new growth every day. You know, God's new. His mercies are new. Every morning in Lamentations says they're new every day. So if there's new growth yesterday, today, and tomorrow, it makes life exciting. People get depressed because their life never changes, or it changes for the worse. And with God, when you're finding out new all every day, and his mercies are new every morning, and you're learning and you're growing, then it makes life exciting. God wants our spirits to grow and to dominate your mind and your body, to control your appetites, whether they're urges, your mouth, your mind, because your mind will start going. And if your spirit is dominating, you'll catch that and go, oh no, you don't. I'm not going to dwell on that. Oh no, you don't. Because that's how we get in trouble. Same with the mouth. You start saying something, or you'll hear it in your head, and you start to go, and or you may be halfway through the sentence. Sometimes it starts like that. You're halfway through the sentence and your spirit man says, don't do it. And you stop. And then your spouse usually goes, what were you going to say? And then you go, it doesn't need said. But what were you going to say? No, you don't need to hear it. You know. So we don't want our flesh to dominate. We want to feed our spirit and develop it. So spiritual giants, people that have grown a lot. I forgot to turn. I knew I should have turned. Spiritual giants are strong emotionally. when you grow up in your spirit, then you're not going to be tossed about like it's talking in this verse. Tossed about, and you'll be solid and you'll be stable in your feelings. That's why you're not offended as easily, because you're solid and you're stable. You know who you are. You know who Jesus Christ is in your life. And you look, it's kind of neat, because when it happens, you look at the situation and you think, you know, 5 years ago, that would have really ticked me off. Or, you know, and then you look at it like, it's not worth it. It's not worth it to my spiritual life to get upset about that, you know. So, we want to be solid and we want to be stable. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Hopefully that wasn't Bob. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. Says, but like a boxer, I buffet my body, I handle it roughly, I discipline it by hardships, and I subdue it, for fear that after proclaiming to others the gospel and things pertaining to it, I myself should become unfit, not stand the test, be unapproved and rejected as a counterfeit. We need to take control over our body. Our body will try and tell us, you need that. You need that piece of cake, or you need to go do this. And you, if your spirit is in domination, can say, no, you're not. You're not doing that today. You're not. It's not good for you. You're not going. So it's not that you can't ever have something that's nice and you enjoy it, but there are certain things that are not good for you. And so you decide when. You decide how. Because you want to please your Father. So, just because someone quotes scripture, and they may even talk in tongues, does not mean that they're grown up in here. Because what's tongue talking? Tongue talking just means that you're allowing the Spirit to speak. When we were in the Assembly of God Church, when I was just like 19, that confused me terribly, because I saw this woman would get up almost every week and she would give a message. I'm like, I know her life. I know what she struggles with. I know, you know, I'm young, but I'm seeing this and I'm like, gee, her life doesn't line up. But God can use people in that. Doesn't mean they grew up in here. He can use a donkey, and the donkey wasn't exactly, you know, grown spiritually. But he used them. So that you can't go by, you can't be fooled by someone, oh, they know so much of the word. Well, they may have memorized it. And memorization is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. But if that's all you have, you need to have it in there and chew on it and do it. And that's when you grow. So do you want to grow up? I think all of us want to grow up, except Peter Pan. But we want him to show us. You know, we want to hear. We want to come, and we want to come as much as we can and hear the word of the Lord and then get in it for ourselves, so that we see where we need to change and where we need to grow up. Sign of immaturity is to have that attitude that I don't need to grow up anymore. You know, have you ever had someone say to you, grow up? I mean, probably when you were younger. But when someone says that to you, you can get a little bit miffed, because you're like, what are they talking about? You know, but when someone says that, either they're trying to hurt you or they see something in you that's babyish, that needs to be honed, you know. And so we want to have the attitude, Lord, show me. Lord, teach me. I want to grow up. I want to look like you. I want to reflect you. So what is a man or a woman? Well, we're in a separate category from the animals. We're in a separate category from the angels. Some people, in churches even, think that when we die, we become an angel. There is no scripture for that. So, physically, we are just under the angels right now. Not so for always. But right now, we are under the angels physically. But spiritually, we are not under the angels. Go to Hebrews chapter 1. The angels wish that they could be in the position that we have. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. Oh, I'll start in 13. He says, besides, to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand, associated with me in my royal dignity, till I make your enemies a stool for your feet? Are not the angels all ministering spirits or servants sent out in the service of God for the assistance of those who are to inherit salvation? Who is that? That's us. They are sent out in the service for us that are to inherit salvation. 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter 3:3. Let me see. Now, this is a chapter that most people turn to when they want to keep women down. Not that we should toss the whole chapter out. It's a good chapter. But a lot of times, you know, when they want women to fall in line with what they want, they turn to this chapter. But I want to bring out something he says here in 1 Peter 3:3. He says, let not yours be the mere external adorning with elaborate interweaving and knotting of the hair, the wearing of jewelry or changes of clothes, but let it be the inward adorning and beauty of the what? Hidden person, inner man or woman. It says, let it be the inward adorning and beauty of the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible and unfading charm of a gentle, peaceful spirit, which is not anxious or wrought up. That is very precious in the sight of God. So the hidden man of the heart, there's an outward man, there's an inward man. The outward, like I said, cannot exist without the inward, but the spirit can exist. And soon we will see life outside this body. I don't know, I read, I think last spring when I was teaching, I told you I had read that book about Heaven's Real, the little boy that that saw heaven and went to heaven, and he went outside his body and was looking down and saw all his parents. You know, we can do that, and there are people that have out-of-body experiences, you know. But we don't turn into an angel, and we don't roam the earth either when we leave our body. When you go to heaven or you go to hell. When you're dead, you know, you leave your body and your body dies, you go to heaven or you go to hell. You don't live in the area, in the neighborhood that you had and haunt the place. That's some other spirits. So Paul said, whether in the body or not, in 2 Corinthians, let's turn over to 2 Corinthians 12. I'm trying to establish the fact that there is an inner man and an outer man, that there's more than just this, what you see. But the Word of God tells us that there's an inner man and an outer man. And when you see that, then you realize you've got to give it what it needs to grow. Our spirits. And 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 2 says, I know a man, this is Paul speaking, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether he was in the body or out of the body, I don't know, but he was caught up to the third heaven. This is real stuff here. And you can step out of your body right now and still exist. Ephesians chapter 3. You got something to share? Just hot? No, you hot? Because it was 72 in here, and I said to him, well, that's okay for now, I guess, but if we need to, you know, if we need to turn it on. Okay, so Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 says, may he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power, where in the inner man, by the Holy Spirit himself, indwelling your inmost being and personality. Strengthened with might in the inner man. Need to grow up. You get spiritually born again, and then you need to get growing. You begin to get growing. Spiritually dead people, people that have never been born again, they can't grow because they've never been born again. So they've never begun. So how do we grow? How do we grow this spirit? We need to desire and crave. The Word of God says in 1 Peter 2, in verses 2 and 3, it says desire and crave the spiritual milk. So like I said, hearing people's theories and opinions and poems and articles, that stuff's maybe interesting, but it's not going to help you grow. We need the unadulterated Word of God to help us to grow. Otherwise, it's like we're eating junk food. And you know how what would happen if you ate junk food all the time and didn't get any nutrition. Your body would not perform. And eventually, you would die. So why, in Ephesians 4, where we started, why did God give us the local church? And it says he gave us ministry gifts. It's called a gift. For what purpose did he give us these gifts? Yeah, it's not a rhetorical. Well, it's, you know, when you give someone a gift, it's for a reason. Well, or just because you love them. But it's a good thing. And so why did he give us the local church? He set that up, and then he gave us these ministry gifts. They're for the edification and the building up and the growing. He has a plan. And in verse 12 here it says, his intention was the perfecting and full equipping of the saints, that they should do the work of ministering toward building up Christ's body, the church. Most people don't look at their church as a place to grow. They have looked at it as, it's my duty to go there, we've gone there all of our lives, and I have to get through church and then I'll be over at that party, you know, or I can come do this after I go to church. And then you're looking at the clock and you're going, isn't it going to be over soon so I can go do what I want to do? That's not a good attitude to come to church with. If you and there are people that go to school that way too, but if you go looking to learn, if you go looking, and my grandmother had always said this, she said, you know, I know sometimes you're not always in control of where you go. Like when I was a teenager, I didn't always pick where I was going to church. I went with my grandmother. Sometimes we went to a camp meeting up here in over by Bethel Park there. And that was Methodist. We weren't Methodists. But the thing is, if you go in expecting God to show up and you go in asking him to give you something, he does. He's faithful like that. And so a lot of times the church becomes just another social place for functions or a duty that we have that we do, and not looking at it as a place to, I'm going in there and I'm going to grow today. I'm going to get something that I can sink my teeth into and I can grow. So we need to expect to grow and renew and come up to the level of feeding our spirit for growth. And you know, my grandson, he's like, my leg hurts. Well, I had those same spurts when I was growing up. And when you're having a growth spurt, sometimes your legs, you're growing so fast that your legs hurt. And I remember my mother rubbing my legs. You know, sometimes we do it in fast spurts and we'll grow like so much in a year. And then sometimes it's like a slow and steady thing. And you just feel like, am I moving at all? And you are, but it's slow and steady. And so we just need to stay with it and just have that as the end goal, that I'm growing, I'm becoming more like Christ. Make the decision. You know, it says, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. We can also say, as for me and my house, we're going to grow, we're going to become more like Jesus. And our last scripture is 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. But on the contrary, as the scripture says, what eye has not seen and ear has not heard and has not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared and he made and he keeps ready for those who love him, who hold him in affectionate reverence, promptly obeying him, gratefully recognizing the benefits he has bestowed. Yet to us, God has unveiled and revealed them by and through his Spirit, for the Holy Spirit searches diligently, exploring and examining everything, even sounding the profound and bottomless things of God, the divine counsels and things hidden and beyond man's scrutiny. For what person perceives and knows what passes through a man's thoughts except the man's own spirit within him? Just so, no one discerns and comes to know and comprehend the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have not received the Spirit that belongs to the world, but we've received the Holy Spirit who is from God, given to us so that we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessing so freely and lavishly bestowed on us by God. And we are setting these truths forth in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Holy Spirit, combining and interpreting spiritual truths with spiritual language to those who possess the Holy Spirit. Here's 14 and 15 are the key verses here. But the natural, non-spiritual man does not accept or welcome or admit into his heart the gifts and teaching and revelations of the Spirit of God, for they are folly, meaningless, nonsense to him. He is incapable of knowing them, of progressively recognizing and understanding and becoming better acquainted with them, because they are spiritually discerned and estimated and appreciated. But the spiritual man tries all things. He examines, investigates, inquires into, questions, discerns all things, yet is himself to be put on trial and judged by no one. He can read the meaning of everything, but no one can properly discern or appraise and get an insight into him. And what this is basically saying is the natural man doesn't receive, he can't spiritually discern. And that's why they trip up. That's why they get hooked into things that they shouldn't get hooked in, because they can't discern. And that's the characteristics of babies or immature, is that they scoff at and they don't count as precious the things of God. They're not, they don't receive the things of God as valuable and precious. When you grow up, you don't think the things of God are foolish. They may look foolish to someone that's a baby. Why would you do that? Well, because God told me to. Well, why would he tell you to do that? But see, to someone that's learned to trust God and trust what he tells you, that's precious to you. It's a word of God, and you take that as precious. To someone that's not used to seeing that or hearing that, it's folly to them, because they're saying, but natural common sense tells you you should do this. But we don't see that, because we're discerning something in the spirit. So if your spirit's not developed, you aren't going to discern spiritual things. Children sometimes try to pull something over on adults. If they've done something, they try to make it look like it wasn't them, or they try to make like nothing happened. We could always tell my son was lying when his eyebrows would go up, because he was trying, I guess, to look innocent, but instead we just kind of discerned that every time Ben's eyebrows go up, he's lying to us. So adults see things that youth don't realize they see. My son did not realize that we were interpreting and we could see that he was lying because of the facial expressions that he had. Once he caught on to that, then he tried to keep them down like this. But see, as adults, we looked and we were discerning, because we had a little more growth there and we were seeing what was going on. And for some reason, babies are in small, you know, not grown, they think that nobody knows. It's like going out and doing something you know is not right, and God has dealt with you about it, and then thinking nobody sees, nobody knows that I'm doing this. Well, the more spiritual you are, the more that you discern things. So these people that discern, they know where people are coming from. They see the motives. You know, you can say all you want, I did it for them. But, you know, sometimes you look in and you're like, no, you did it for you. You know, because you're discerning that, and they're lying to themselves, you know. So babies don't see things. They're clueless, and they're led easily by lying people. They're fooled very easily. And we do not want to be that person. Amen? We're done for today, but we'll pick it up again next week. Does anybody have any questions? Sometimes it's a little sobering, because I know even as I was studying this out, I'm like, ugh, I thought I was at least, you know, 11 or 12. you know, and I realized, yeah, I still got some growing to do, you know, because there's times I think all of us, if we're not careful and we're not staying in here and we're not keeping that close relationship with Him, you can fall back into baby behavior, you know, and we don't want to do that. We want to, because if you look at the life of Jesus, He had all the same trials and stuff that we did. It said He grew in spirit, and He only lived 33 years, but what a powerful life He did. So that's where we're aiming for. Father, we thank You for Your word. And Father, we as Your children, we desire to be grown and mature and complete. And so, Father, that's the journey that we are on. And we ask You to just show us where we need to make adjustments. Show us how important Your word is, how important the relationship is with You. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for coming out.